In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of God's Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. No temptation has seized you that isn't common for people, but God is faithful. He won't allow you to be tempted beyond your abilities. Instead, with the temptation, God will also supply a way out, so that you will be able to endure it. You know, the problem with translations of the Bible, when they translated it from Hebrew and Greek, and whatever else, Aramaic and all these lovely antique languages, is that when they translated it into English, they used whatever words they thought fit best with the common language of the time. And so sometimes the word in Greek that is used for temptation is also used for trial, which in English, trial can mean hardship, which is how we get into the 1 Corinthians 10 being used to say God won't give you more than you can handle. So, well, so in debunking this little bit of fake news, the first thing we have to remember is context, which is great because that's the form of exegesis of the understanding, the going back to the original language and the understanding scripture. I love contextual, historical, I love it. I love being able to sink into the history of a text and who it was written by and who it was written to and why they wrote it and who it was originally for. Yes, it speaks to us today, but for me, it speaks better when I can understand why it was written in the first place. 1 Corinthians was Paul chastising the new church in Corinth. That's why there's a 2 Corinthians, because that was him apologizing for being such a hard bleep in the first one. In 1 Corinthians, he was writing to the church in Corinth saying, whoa, you don't have this right. You're doing church wrong. Think about it. 1 Corinthians is where we have 1 Corinthians 13 about love is patient, love is kind. It's because they were doing love wrong. They were doing church wrong. In this instance, you have to remember that the church in Corinth was made up of former pagans. They believed in their multitude of gods. There was a god for this and a god for that and a god for which not and whoever and what have you. And here comes Paul to set them up. Nope, one God known through us, through one person of Jesus Christ, our Lord, and inspired through one Holy Spirit, three but one, there we go. It's all one God who created us, who sent his Son to die for our sins and rose again according to the scriptures. You go from many gods to one God. And it was hard for them to wrap their heads around. It was hard for them to understand because while they really wanted to be Christians and they really wanted to have that history and they really wanted to have that faith, the voices of their ancestors were crying to them saying, oh, but what we know, what our experience says is that if we're having a problem fishing, then we have to pray to the God of the nets. And if we're having a problem with this, then we pray to the God in charge of this. They tried to take their old pagan rituals and fit them in with the Christian, with what they were learning as new Christians. And they were trying to fit it in. And you know, it was one of those old sayings that says you didn't want to be a Corinthian, or you didn't want to live like a Corinthian, because that was just about as sinful as you could get. It was a port city. And I don't know, but I remember what San Francisco looked like during Fleet Week when the Navy boys had come in. Like, come on. Same idea. And it's all the non-newspaper worthy stuff. You know, the drinking and the gambling and the prostitution and all of the sinful stuff. So you get to 1 Corinthians 10 and what Paul says is, hey, whoa, wait a minute. Not a single one of you is being tempted in a way that's new to anybody. The temptation you are experiencing has been experienced before. You are not special in this. So then what he goes on to say, it says, no temptation has seized you. You have not been overcome by any temptation that is not common for people. But God, this God who has been and is and was and will be, the God of Abraham and Isaac and of Jesus and of Paul, this new God, capital G, that you are now to follow, he is faithful and will not allow you to be tempted beyond your abilities. Instead, with the temptation, God will also supply a way out so you can endure it. It's about temptation. The scripture reading is about being tempted. It says temptation happens. I'm tempted. Good Lord, Jesus was tempted. 40 days worth in the wilderness, remember? But there's a supplied way out. Jesus got out of the wilderness. Why? Because he maintained his faith. And that's what the more truth is that it's not that we won't be given temptation. It's that God also provides the way out of that temptation. This passage, this scripture passage, is not about God declining to give you more because you haven't reached your breaking point yet. No, it's about temptation. We pray it every Sunday. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So then there's those who say, well, but we're always tempted, and it seems like God never shows up. Really? I tend to think that the problem there isn't that God fails to provide the way out of the temptation, but that when it does appear, we're enjoying our human condition enough in the temptation to say, oh, I can't see it. I'm enjoying looking at this thing that I'm being tempted by, so I can't see the open door over here that God's going, whoosh, out. So that deals with our scripture reading. It does not, however, deal with the fake news of God won't give you more than you can handle. All right, so let's get into that for a minute. First of all, that phrase, God won't give you more than you can handle, is bad theology. There, I said it. It's bad theology because it begins with this first belief that God is the one who gives it to you. I said it before Jamie's surgery. I said it before Shelley's surgery. I said it before 10,000 different times in my life. I don't work for a God who acts like that. I don't work for a God. I was not called by a God. I was not created by a God who makes bad things happen. I don't believe that. But bad things, those bad times, are part of the human condition. Straight up, it is what it is. And if nothing else, God understands the broken condition. My Lord, he came down in the form of Jesus. Jesus walked. Jesus had that true, full human experience right to death on the cross. So when the bills are piling up and you get the diagnoses, plural, and when your mom comes to see you because your brother decided to kill himself, and you're burying a loved one, and you have all of this other stuff going on, to the words, God won't give you more than you can handle, that's not the God I worship and work for, right? Because that phrase says, well, God is giving you all of this crap. There's a word I don't use very often. God's giving this all to you, but he's going to stop right before you break. Does that sound like the God we worship? Does it honestly sound like the God we worship? No, that's the world. That's the sinful, fallen nature of our world. That's not God giving you all of the stuff. Try this one on for size instead. How about God will help you handle all that you've been given? God will help you handle all that you've been given. It's not that God gives it to you. It's bad theology when you say, well, God won't give you any more than you can handle. Like God's sitting up there dealing the cards until, whoop, your hands are full. No. God is the God of the footprints in the sand poem. Where the man dreamed that he was walking with the Lord and the visions of his life were playing across the sky. And the man says to the Lord, he says, I'm confused. How is it that in the worst times of my life, when everything was going right to hell, how is it that those are the times where you left me because I needed you the most and there's only one set of footprints there? And what does the Lord say? My child, I love you and I never left you. That one set of footprints is where I carried you. It's fake news to say that God's the one giving you the bad stuff. It's not good. It's not, ooh. But it is true, and it is faithful, and it is the God's honest take-it-to-the-bank truth that our God is faithful and that our God walks with us and carries us when we can't walk another step. How many times can you, sitting here right now, think of those times when you couldn't do it on your own? I know for certain we all have them. We're all human. Or at least I'm pretty sure we are. I'm not thinking any of us is, you know, ET or anything. Maybe. But how many times has God scooped you up and said, you know what, it's okay. Yeah, this is not fun. And yeah, this is that icky, gooey, gross part of being a human. But I'm still God. And I'm still there to pick you up and carry you because I still love you and you still are mine. Don't you ever forget who you are, whose you are. God is faithful. And yeah, it seems like when it rains, it pours. Just when you've got one more thing, everything's piled up, there's one more thing just added to your list. Added to that heap on top of your head. And I don't know about you, but the experience I've had is like, really, God? The Creator has big enough shoulders. He can take it when we get mad at Him. When we get mad with the situation. When we get upset about what we're dealing with. When we finally throw our hands up and say, you know what, I've had enough. Enough is enough. I can't take it anymore. And those are the times when you give it to God and it's okay to say, I need help. And sometimes asking for help is not just a prayer to the guy upstairs, but a plea to the person sitting next to you. It's not that God won't give you more than you can handle because God's not the one giving it to you to begin with. It is that God is faithful and will be there and is already there. And that you don't walk this way alone. That this is not a path you are on by yourself. And when you see one set of footprints, you better believe you are getting a piggyback ride. I can say it because I've lived it. I can own it because I've experienced it. And if you are honest with yourselves, you have too. But I also know, having walked it, that there is nothing harder than asking for help when you're at the bottom looking up. Going, I ain't ever getting out of this. But if God can pick you up and carry you through, if God can create, if God can raise his own son from the dead for our souls to save us from our sins, then what on earth makes us think that our God cannot pick us up and carry us and give us what we need when we need it? There's not a thing on this planet that our God can't help us get through. You just have to ask. You have to have enough humility about yourself to be able to ask for it and say, God, I need your help. I can't do this right now. I know myself well enough to know that I do not have the strength to do this right now. And as Grandma would say, you got to leave it there. Because if you're still meddling with it, this is Grandma saying, she said, if you're still meddling with it, God can't do what God's going to do. And that's every problem. That's every trial, every upset, every whatever. You have to let God work as God will work. And so that means if you're the one asking for help, and then all of a sudden your church family decides, well, we're going to help with this, that, or the other. We're going to see how we can help you. You have to go with it. Because what do we remind ourselves of? We are God's hands and feet. We are the instruments God uses. And so not only is it okay to ask for help, it's also okay to know that you're the one being used as the helper. Because sometimes that's exactly how it works. Sometimes that's how it is. Jesus can't pick you up and walk down the footprints in the sand while you're carrying everything else. So if nothing else, if you don't remember another thing I say, if you can't remember another sermon over the last 7 months, seven and a half months, remember me telling you this. You don't walk alone. You don't do it yourself. You are loved. You are cared for, and our God is faithful. Amen.